We are back again, September 7th and 8th, commission meeting. We're coming to you live from Watertown. We're going to continue down our agenda. Right now we're moving on to petitions. We're going to go over 9, 10, 11, and 12. They are all being brought to us by Nancy Hilding. And so I know Nancy will be joining us virtually. And what we've asked of Nancy when she does come on is to give her 30 minutes to go over all of those at one time, and then the commission will look at those independently when it's time to consider those petitions. So we're on petitions 9, 10, 11, and 12.
So I have a question. What about petitions 13 and 14?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, and 13 and 14. I apologize. Yes, I did not turn my page.
Yes, okay, so you're giving me a half hour?
You have a half an hour to go through all of the petitions that you've brought before us today. So thank you, Nancy, for being with us.
No, before you go, I want to ask Mr. Kotolnik for something. Could you do the math and divide 30 minutes by 6 and let me know when I've gone through a sixth of my time at each point so I can move on to the next one?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yep,
Mr.
he is. Stand by.
Madam Chair, John Kotolnik, staff attorney. Ms. Hilding, yes, my math is terrible, but the people around me are saying 5 minutes per petition. So
all right.
Every 5 minutes, okay. I'll give you a heads up every 5 minutes.
And I'll try to go faster than that because the last one I'm going to do is the most complex, and I'm going to do the simplest first so we can get through them faster. All right. Okay. Well, I'm not going to do the simplest first. And I don't know. But here, let me. Okay, I'm starting now. I'm Nancy Hilding, president of Prairie Hills Audubon Society. South Dakota has a chapter of law, 40-1, on cruelty, abuse, and injury to animals. However, that statute exempts certain situations from the animal cruelty laws. And this is 41-17-3. Any lawful hunting, trapping, fishing, or other activity authorized by the South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. So any type of hunting, fishing, or trapping that you authorize is not covered by the animal cruelty laws of South Dakota. So in my mind, that makes you kind of the fiduciary responsibility of your many duties to watch over what is going on with hunting, fishing, trapping in South Dakota, and try to find the best, most humane way of killing, trapping, etc. animals. So three of my petitions address this issue and three do not. And I'm going to begin with my first one that I'm going to talk about is about lactating females in trees. And you have currently hunting on the prairie where you have birth breeding happening and you have no protection to the mothers in the prairie unit. Mothers give, lions give birth to lions 365 days of the year. There is no way to design a mountain lion hunting season that will not result in orphan kittens because they don't just, you know, have them in the spring or something like that. They have more in the summer, but they have them year round. The kittens stay with their moms for 18 months. There is a documented case of one who was orphaned at 6 months that lived, but that is the earliest known time period that an orphan kitten can live. So when you authorize hunting of lions, you are authorizing the orphaning and starving of kittens, which is why many people oppose mountain lion hunting. But to get to what I'm asking you here, the staff actually agreed with me because one of the amendments they made to Mr. Wells' petition without asking him was to extend the Custer State Park prohibition on killing lactating females in trees to the rest of the Black Hills, but they did not extend it to the prairie. Now you have, I don't know if I've said this or not, you have had proof of breeding in the prairie on Ogallala Sioux tribe land since 2015. They currently have a hunting season of 20 males and 10 females. They have proven breeding There was a checkerboard out there because of the Allotment Act across the reservation of South Dakota. Rosebud has proof of breeding, and it has a hunting season. So there's a mission in your current rule of providing protection to lactating females that are treed during hunting on the per unit. And you would have needed to extend that to the Black Hills unit outside of Custer State Park if you had moved that other rule forward. So what I have here is that you add a new section. A person using dogs to hunt mountain lions may not harvest a female showing obvious signs of lactation. And that allows you to protect treed females who show signs of lactations in Custer State Park. If you ever extend it to the rest of the Black Hills Fire Protection Unit, and it extends it currently to the per unit where lactating females could be treed and shot under your current rules. So this is cleanup. And this is cleanup of an admission, an oversight, and Game Fish and Parks staff itself was trying to fix this when they amended the petition of Mr. Wells. Okay, so the next one that I'm, what time am I at now?
You are good to go, Nancy. You are four minutes in.
All right, okay, so now my next one, which I think is another simple, easy one, is the petition to that says hunters using hounds must have GPS / stimulation collars, parentheses, e-collars, parentheses, placed on hounds. And Mr. Wells, thank him, testified during his hearing, his petition presentation, that these collars are very useful for controlling and maintaining dogs, and that this, you know, eradicates the issue of trespass because everybody's controlling their dogs. And I think he said, you know, everybody's using these nowadays. So, you know, he supports my the Prairie Hills Audubon petition here. Thinks it's a good idea to require hound hunters to use e-collars. I don't think this is controversial. You got a lot of people worried about trespass. So this is a requirement that is supposed to address that issue. And it improves hound hunting in South Dakota by requiring them to have e-collars, the stimulation GPS collars. So that's, you know, I don't think that's controversial. Okay, so here's another one. It was another point raised by somebody who was testifying today, which is about guides. The change requested is to insert two new sections into the rule, which is would be: a owner of trained hounds used to chase and hunt mountain lions shall register with South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks as a guide. If he offers to use his hounds to help others hunt mountain lions and charges for service, parentheses, see South Dakota Codified Law 41-4-12. That defines what guides are. Okay. South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks shall provide a way for an owner of trained hounds to register. For land that he will traverse while chasing lions, the hound owner guide shall meet all the requirements for guiding that are required by the Public Land Management Agency and or get permission from private landowners. The next section, a person who has used a hound hunter guide to hunt mountain lions and kill a lion using this service shall disclose the use of the hound hunter guide to South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks when he or she turns in the lion carcass. And so, you know, we are concerned that from that testimony in July, there's only 100 people who are members of the club and probably about 100 members who actually do hound hunting. And my math was showing they got 27% of the hounds 27% of the lion killed last year. I do not know to what percent these are people who are using the hound owner to help them hunt for, I mean, the person who kills the deer is not actually the hound owner and are using guides. And, you know, I think it's not precluded that an out-of-state guide person could come in and use their hounds to help an in-state person have a license. So this is just to allow for some knowledge in regulation about, you know, knowledge about how many of the animals that are killed with hunting dogs are done by the hound hunters themselves or as commercial people offering a service to somebody else. Okay, so I've done that one. I can make sure. Okay, this is an animal cruelty one. I don't know what number it is. This is my concern that I've always had that when you allow hunting of lions on the prairie, there may not be trees or rock outcroppings for lion to get away from the hounds so that they can't be treed and we're going to have a fight. Okay, so here's a change, and it says, no person may release dogs on mountain lion tracks where there are no trees or rock outcroppings for the lions to get out of reach of the hounds. If the hounds have chased the lion to such an area, the hunter shall use a GPS stimulation collar to call the lions back to the hunter. And that's very simple. You know, we are concerned that some lion is out there on the prairie where there are no trees, and the hounds come upon them, and we get into a giant hound-lion fight. And, you know, we're just requiring them to not release the hounds in those potential situations. Okay, so here's another one. These are all 240.106.6106 are all changes to that. Okay, the people like me who are concerned with animal cruelty are constantly worrying about the fights that we think are happening between the lions and the dogs. And the hunters, the advocates of hound hunting don't think this is happening or is much of a worry or whatever. So this one is about you getting the data so we know what is actually happening. So what it says is hunters using hounds must report to game fishing parks any injuries to hounds from the fights with lions and approximately where and when such injury is believed to have occurred. And the other one is hunters using hounds must report any injury to mountain lions from hounds if the mountain lion escaped and approximately where and when such injury is believed to have occurred. And so then, we want to modify an existing section, number six, which currently says no person may release dogs on tracks indicating multiple lions traveling together. And we want to amend that to no person may release dogs on tracks indicating multiple lions traveling together and must cease any chase of a family group of lions, parentheses, mothers with kittens, parentheses, and report any evidence of a family group of lions having been chased in the location of the chase. And so this is us wanting you to actually collect data on what is happening with wounding of hounds and lions instead of the two sides arguing perpetually about whether it's happening or not. And we are concerned that if it's in the summer and it's dry out, the hound hunters are not going to see the tracks and they're not going to know that they're chasing a family unit. Or if the hounds get too far out in advance of the hunter is not going to see the tracks. So we want to know if this stuff is happening. And it's data collection. And it's requiring them to report it to you. And so I think have I done guides yet?
Nancy, you have 10 minutes left.
Have I done them all but the fees?
Yes.
Okay, well, the fees is the hardest one, most difficult, complicated. All right, so, okay, what we are trying to do with this is we look at the math And we actually came up with some different numbers than Game Fish and Parks did. But the hound hunters, who make up a very small portion of the 3,000 people who buy mountain lion licenses, are getting a disproportionate share of the take and the killing of mountain lions. So in the mountain lion hunting fee is very low at $22 for a license. And, you know, given that, you know, three thousand some people buy licenses, and Game Fish and Parks thinks 1,000 something are active hunters, and I did a different math. I come up with 973 hunters, but a very small portion of the people are actually going out and hunting. So, it seems that a lot of people, their $22 are donation to Game Fish and Parks because they're not actually using it. 72% of the people are willing to buy and not use a license, at least in the Blackfish Fire Protection District, which indicates to me that $22 is too small. So we have increasing the license to $32, which would make it the same as a deer or antelope tag, single tag. And I don't know if I need to. I need to read you guys. I suppose I should read to you, but I'll explain it first, and then I'll read the text to you. Okay. But then because if I understand what's going on here, and I could be wrong, this is a fundraising method for Game Fish and Parks. It charges $22, and a whole mass of people buy it but never use it. And Game Fish and Parks raises money to fund your projects and good deeds and whatnot. So your low cost for license is a fundraising gimmick or plan or whatever. So we're suggesting something new and revolutionary here. Because Game Fish and Parks requires the mountain lions to be turned in, because you need to check their age and all sorts of things about them, that when the mountain lion is turned in, or, you know, just after it's turned in, the hunter will be assessed the ones in the Black Hills Fire Protection District outside of Custer State Park. Hunting with will get they'll pay a $10 fee for the male and a $20 fee for the female. So if they are hunting outside of Custer State Park, I've got that messed up. Okay. People who are hunting without hounds, they pay $10 fee for a male and $20 fee for a female when they turn their lion in, and they pay $34. Now that's for the hoof hunters. Okay. For the hound hunters, I'm increasing the price, and I have all the statistics down here. The hound hunters have a much higher probability of actually catching a lion than the food hunters. And some of the Game Fish and Parks in their proposal, they provide some of the statistics, and I provide some of the statistics in here. And if I still have time, I can go over that. But
you do have time, Nancy.
All right. Well, because the hound hunters have a much higher probability of catching a lion. We don't think the $22 lion fee, which the vast, three-fourths of the people don't use. We are assessing a $80 fee for the basic hound hunting ticket outside of Custer State Park. And if a female lion is killed, an extra $20 will be assessed. Okay, and so within the Custer State Park, where they have a much higher percentage of getting a lion, because there are, only 15 people allowed to do it in 5 sessions, they pay $100 because their chances are much higher. And if a female mountain lion killed, an extra $20 will be assessed. Okay, so So it's a revolutionary and different concept, which is allowing you to still give away at a very cheap rate the basic mountain lion license to the boot hunters. But for the hound hunters, who have a much higher probability of getting a lion and who can also sell their services as a guide, the price is higher, you know, and I looked it up, like the price of dog food, 18.5 pounds at Walmart was like $35. You know, at any rate, I think that we are currently giving away this mountain lion license fee to the hound hunters way too cheaply. So, I did some analysis. I came up with slightly different numbers than you guys did. But you guys say you have 3,374 cooler licenses in the Black Hills, or everywhere, and 37 mountain lions were killed. So the hunter success in the Black Hills would be 1.1% if all 3,374 actually hunted in the Black Hills. And your PowerPoint that you presented in the July meeting said 3.8% of the was active hunter success, which was ridiculous. Slide. If you do the math, and 37 hunters were successful, 3.8% of those would be. It takes 973 hunters for 30.8% of them to be 37 hunters. And you guys on your thing said 3.8 of 1,150 was successful, but they would actually get 40 lions. But at any rate, the active hunters, when you're giving away the tickets for 22, is either 1,150 by your calculations, or 973 people by my calculations, and that's 28% of the folks who are buying licenses. So, I mean, the licenses are just too cheap. Let's see, here's the statistics on Custer State Park. For 11 years, 96% of the Custer State Park killing was from the hound hunters. 15 hound hunters get licenses in Custer State Park, and last year, 7 mountain lions were killed in Custer State Park. So the hound hunters had a 46% success at killing mountain lions in Custer State Park last year. And the prairie harvest for the last 5 years averaged 11.6 mountain lions. For the past 8 years, 72% of the killed mountain lions on the prairie were taken by hound hunters. So the prairie hound hunters are getting 8.6 lions per year. Last year, they got 14. The hound hunters are getting 27% of the mountain lions killed every year. And Game Fish and Parks testified today that they were getting about a third of the lions. So, and there's a lot fewer hound hunters than boot hunters. We believe that 300th of the hunters are killing 27% of the lions. And, if you allow the petition that you killed, thank you. We would think perhaps they would be getting 46% of the lions.
Nancy, you have 2 minutes left in your time.
Oh, I'm finished with all the statistics, which is, you know, probably too confusing to listen to. I wrote it down. But it's a new concept. It's a revolutionary concept, and maybe you guys have to cogitate on it as well. But the actual text of the proposal is this. Mountain lion license, A, hunting without the use of hounds, $34 period. If a male mountain lion is killed or a female mountain lion is killed, a $10 fee for male and a $20 fee for female will be assessed as an extra fee when the animals are turned in for inspection. B, Hunting with the use of hounds outside Custer State Park, $80. If a female mountain lion is killed, an extra $20 will be assessed as an extra fee when the animal is turned in for inspection. C. Hunting with the use of hounds within Custer State Park, $100. If a female mountain lion is killed, an extra $20 will be assessed as an extra fee when the animal is turned in for inspection. And the concept of paying more for a female, you know, the more females die, the hunt ends sooner, so they're valuable for that. And it is impossible to separate out animal cruelty from killing female lions because they have babies year-round. And when we're killing female lions, we're working...
Nancy, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up, if you could, please.
Well, that's it. You know, that's why we're charging more for females, because to protect viability, you are of the lion population, you allow for less of a harvest of a female. So taking a female should cost more. All right, that's
very
it.
Good. Thank you, ma'am. We're going to do we have any questions from the commission for Nancy on any of the six petitions that she brought today? And we can certainly save those till the end. Director Kirschman is here from the department. Sir, the floor is yours.
Madam Chair, thank you again. Those listening, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. I'm going to jump right into the six petitions, with the first one being number 9 on your agenda. This petition here is in the respect to that some changes requested by Ms. Hilding in respect to females showing obvious signs of lactation. So a couple of quick comments on this one. In general, looking at all the petitions, and especially these first couple, there's always some real challenges that come associated with enforcement of these types of regulations when we put them in place. But maybe more importantly on this particular one, with the fact of the matter that you did not move forward the proposal that would have expanded hound hunting or the use of hounds out in the Black Hills Fire Protection outside of Custer State Park, we currently have rules in place that do reflect of avoidance of obvious signs of lactation, of removal of lions in Custer State Park. So in looking at this one in general, I would say there would not be a necessary change at this time. Certainly as we go through our processes over the next year, one of the things that we will look at are all the administrative rules associated with the mountain lion hunting season. And as we bring forward recommended changes next year, whatever they may look like, we would then bring the associated changes in administrative rule to reflect those types of recommendations. So in this particular one, we would believe that what's in rule meets the needs based on retaining the current season structure, and would recommend your denial to this one.
Very good. Let's take these one at a time. The recommendation is denial. Any questions for Director Kirschman? There are no questions. I need a motion and a second. Moved by Commissioner Cole, seconded by Commissioner Bartlin. All those in favor of denial, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you, sir. 9 is denied. We'll go to number 10.
The next petition brought forward had to do with the requirement of the GPS/stimulation collars, e-collars, on the hounds being used for the hunting. Certainly, as you heard from several of the houndsmen, many of them already use collars on their dogs, whether it's just for GPS, stimulation, whatever it might be. I am not versed in all the collars that they use on hounds for doing hound hunting like this. I certainly know from a bird hunting perspective, there's all kinds of different e-collars out there, right? Different models, different capabilities that some of these collars have. But looking at this, knowing full well that many of them already use it, again, this is another one to hard to enforce. If you're not out there, how do you know they are or are not using it? You can ask the question if you wanted to, but unless you're there to see it, how do you enforce it? And putting in a rule that is very difficult or basically impossible to enforce doesn't seem like a very appropriate thing to do. The other thing that's come up with this particular topic of discussion is it's an item or a tool to help prevent trespass. Again, in our conversations, the use of hounds being used right now for bobcat, as we discussed, even Commissioner Beast brought it up, knowing a lot of folks in that area, we don't see that issue coming about. And if it does, it's very, very seldom. So again, what I would offer to you is the need to put this in administrative rule is not a necessity. Things seem to be working right now. And again, this can be something that looked at later. And so for that, I would suggest that you deny this petition.
Very good. A motion has been moved to deny. We need a second. Second by Commissioner Springs. All those in favor of denial say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? It is denied. Thank you. We'll move on to number 11, which is petition number 199.
Yeah. Petition 199 has to do with guides and referencing guides. And this is a complicated scenario. When we talk about guides in South Dakota, there is a definition of what a guide looks like, as was alluded to by Ms. Hilding. But in respect to our agency either requiring a registration or, in particular, charging a fee for somebody to be a guide, we do not have that authority right now as an agency. That's something that would take legislative action. That being said, too, it's very difficult to even get without having a comprehensive list. We don't even know who those individuals would be. You can ask for voluntary registration, but there's no guarantee that you would have the overall compliance with it. So based on what we know with guides right now, the other piece that's important is in the Black Hills, if somebody would be serving as an official guide, they are required to have a permit from the U.S. Forest Service as a special use permit, I believe, is what it is for guiding. And there also is rules in place right now about guiding on state public land. So for the most part, we have those things covered in various statute or other rules or other requirements from other entities. So our recommendation would be to deny this particular petition as well.
Any questions for Director Cushman at this time?
Move to deny.
The motion is on the table to deny. I need a second. It is seconded by Commissioner Beast. Any comments as we move through these? Commissioner Bartling.
Yeah, quickly. Thank you, Commissioner Bartling. I support the denial on this one, especially because this will open the door to other guide services throughout the state. We have guides for pheasant hunting and group hunting, thing like that, and I just don't know that that is even a realm of possibility to get registration and keep track of it. And what do you do if they don't register and you catch it? It just, I think, opens the door to a wealth of problems. So I support the denial.
Motion on the table to deny. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The denial motion is approved. We will continue down the line, number 12, which is petition number 200.
Madam Chair, this particular petition, again, revolves around the request to put administrative rule in place that would require the reporting of injury, whether it was injury to a mountain lion or injury to a hound or the dogs being used in the pursuit. When we look at this, as an unnecessary requirement or rule asking the individuals. I understand there are some people that would like to have that type of information, but for us, I'm not sure what we would even do with the information. We don't require somebody to tell us when one of their dogs gets injured when they're out hunting pheasants or waterfowl or something of that nature, and those types of things. So it seems like an unnecessary rule. I'm not sure how we would use the information, and for those reasons, I would suggest that you deny this petition.
Any questions or comments? We do need Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, thank you. This is another one where this is much greater than just one use of hounds or what have you. It could blow up into all sorts of things. So I would move to deny.
Director Kirschman, do we have any other states that have anything in law like what is being suggested or in policy that's being suggested?
Madam Chair, I do not have the answer for that. That's something that we could look into better understand. I'm not aware of any, but that does not mean it may not exist somewhere.
Very good. We do have a motion to deny. We do need a second. Seconded by Commissioner Bartling. Any comments on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That is adopted. We'll continue to number 13 on our agenda, which is petition number 201.
Madam Chair and Commissioners, again, this particular one asks for may not release dogs on mountain lion tracks where there are no trees or rock outcroppings. from the standpoint of the lions themselves. Really haven't heard anything of other concerns about this particular item that has been brought up before. Again, talking to our law enforcement staff, this would be one of those very challenging ones to enforce, not knowing what all the circumstances or situations are. You know, again, from a management perspective of lions, our management is in the Black Hills, and where we are right now, then the only place that this is occurring is use of hounds would be in the Custer State Park opportunities as well. And so knowing where we have those opportunities right now, the majority of time there are going to be that type of escape cover. Out in the prairies is a little bit different conversation in some locations, most likely. Again, but remember, from a management perspective, and what we're focused on is the Black Hills Fire Protection District or the Black Hills proper. So I'd recommend denial of this particular petition as well.
Any questions for Director Kirschman? Comments?
Move to deny.
Move to deny. We need a second. Seconded by Commissioner Springs. Any comments?
On as far as just the verbiage of this thing, no trees, you would have to have a proximity. I mean, certainly we have trees in the state of South Dakota. I mean, you'd have to have proximity, and how do you, I mean, that's unenforceable. I just, yeah, so I'm completely against it. Thank you.
Any other comments on the motion to deny? All right, all those in favor of denial, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The denial motion is approved. We'll move on to number 14, which is petition number 202. This is the Mountain Lion Season License Fee Rule Change.
Madam Chair and Commissioners, this particular one, we can certainly have conversations about the actual fee for mountain lion hunting, and should we go down that path and have some type of unique hunting license for the use of hounds or something of that nature. Obviously, that'd be the time to have that conversation. The concept of having a post-harvest fee be applied based on the sex of the animal, I think, becomes very complicated. I would also say unprecedented is for sure. We don't assess any type of fee after any other type of critter is harvested in South Dakota. I would have some concerns and reservations depending on what that system looks like when you have staff checking in a mountain lion and then having them proceed with either collecting or inputting data to assess a fee, and it becomes very, very complex and complicated and quite honestly very unnecessary. By the time that you would obtain these small fees associated with the number of animals harvested, we would spend more on staff time trying to administer collecting fees and setting something up than the dollars that we would collect. So, Madam Chair and Commissioners, I just see this as a unnecessary, complex scenario of fees and would recommend denial.
Very good. Any questions or comments? Commissioner Whitmire.
Commissioner Whitmire, Director Kirschman. Couldn't that even be viewed as selling public assets? I mean, if you're going to be putting a price on any kind of take, I mean, in this case, the mountain lions, but I think that's dangerous and, you know, it possibly could run into litigation that we don't need. So, yeah, certainly I guess I would move to deny this petition.
We have a motion to deny. We do need a second. Seconded by Commissioner White. Any comments on that motion? The only comment I will make, it's about this and really all of them. I do appreciate the petitioner bringing these forward. But after our last conversation, knowing that the department will be taking a deeper dive into mountain lion hunting in general, I think this is a good move that we've made today with all of these, and I too will be supporting the denial. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? It is approved. Thank you. Thank you, Nancy, for bringing those forward.